Blog Talk Radio.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, all his precious blood atoning, and I repented.
Call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 6.
Amen. He's the only place we're going to find victory. He's the only place we're going to find peace.
That's right.
Talking to Sister Wigfall, I were talking this morning, and she was saying, you know, they're talking about to get peace with North Korea. But there can't be any peace anywhere but in the Lord Jesus. And as she said, the scripture said, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. Man cannot bring about the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, they can't get a treaty. They can't do anything that's going to give the peace that passeth understanding that we have in the Lord Jesus. We don't believe we can look at all these high-profile celebrities who have recently been committing suicide.
Yeah.
And people look at them and say, they have it all. They've got money. They've got the fame. They've got all these things. And other people look at them and wish that they could be like them. But we don't, if we don't have the Lord, we don't really have anything. Because all these other things are going to pass away. Amen. Amen. Thieves will break through and steal them. Moth and rust will corrupt them. So the only thing that is eternal can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God
Amen.
For his goodness.
Thank God.
Amen. I'm before you to take the morning offering. The special offering for today, this being the third Sunday of the month. And happy Father's Day, fathers. Happy Father's Day. Man, we often know so many times on Mother's Day, we thank God for mothers. If it weren't for mothers, we wouldn't be here. Well, if it weren't for fathers, we wouldn't be here either.
That's right. That's right.
So we thank God for fathers after a godly example. We thank God for that. The special offering for today is for benevolence. So the usher and the sinner will receive that offering for benevolence. And the ushers on either side to receive your tithes and other offerings. Ushers, please come forward. Thanking God for touching my voice. I was able to sing a little bit with you on that last song. Amen. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again, dear God. Lord, thanking you, Lord, for the foregoing prayer, dear God. Thanking you, dear God, for the joy, dear God, that comes only through you, dear God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the way that you provide for our needs, dear God, according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we lift you up this morning, dear God, and we glorify your name because, dear Lord, we would have nothing if not for thee. Lord, it's you that give us the strength to come and go and get gain. And, Lord, it's you, Lord, that give us wisdom, dear Father, for how to use that that you provide. And so we thank you this morning, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these offerings and that you would use them to your glory and to your honor, realizing, dear God, that we don't know what to do, dear God, and we're not able to provide for ourselves, but you will provide all things, Lord, that that you would use them both to your glory and honor. Give wisdom for the use of these offerings, dear God, that these offerings may be used, dear God, that the kingdom of God might be exalted. Lord, not us, dear God, but you. Have your way in us, dear God, and make us a blessing. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I worship the Lord to page 649. My soul is satisfied. 649. I try to pick some of Brother Mann's song for this morning, seeing it's his birthday, and try to
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Realizing that Jesus is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
He is the door. He is the way.
Yes, he is.
He is life.
Yes, he is.
We thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
We thank God for his unspeakable gift in giving his son to die on a cruel cross.
Amen.
And realizing that we have enjoyed the song service and the prayer service, but we've come to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
He has been listening to us as we have prayed and we have sung praises to his name, but now we want to hear from the Lord. So we're going to ask you to stand once more. We're going to offer prayer for our speaker, realizing that she has to wait for the Spirit of God to give her what is to be spoken. And she has to wait for him to empower her to speak it. So we're going to lift her up in prayer to the Lord that she would preach the word in Spirit's power. That she would lean not to her own understanding, but to speak that which the Lord doth declare this morning. And we're going to pray also that we would listen with open hearts and minds to receive the word of God, realizing that it's good for our souls. So let us look to the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, once again, thanking you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together in your name on this Lord's Day.
Amen.
Thanking you, Lord, that we don't have to meet in secret. Thanking you, Lord, that right now, at least, Lord, we don't have to run for our lives, dear
Amen.
God, to serve you.
Amen.
Lord, we don't know what will come.
That's right.
But, Lord, we give you glory this day. And, Lord, if it should come to that, Lord, where we would have to run for our lives, dear God, in order to serve you, Lord, we're still going to serve you.
Amen.
We realize, dear God, that you tell us in your word, Lord, that there were some who, Lord, had to worship you out in the sheep coat, dear Father, and put on skins, dear Father, to worship you in secret, dear God, because they were under persecution. And, Lord, we don't know, Lord, if that day might come here to this country, dear God. But, Lord, we're going to serve you anyway, dear God. We have a made-up mind to serve you. Lord, it's like the song that we sing. We have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
We won't turn back.
Amen.
We won't turn back. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint your maidservant this morning, Lord, to preach your word. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would empower her, dear God, anoint her tongue, dear God, to speak the word that you have given to her for the good of our souls. Lord, you know our hearts and you know our minds, Lord, and you know our lives. And you know, Lord, what we need to hear this morning. So we pray, dear God, that you would anoint her afresh, dear God, to preach the word of God. Strengthen her, dear God. Anoint her from head to toe, dear God. Lord, anoint her in the spirit. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would anoint our ears and our hearts, dear God, to receive, to hear and receive your word. Lord, and help us, dear God, to take it in, dear God. Lord, and to measure our lives by your word. Not measuring our lives by someone else's life, but to measure our life by your eternal word. For we know, Lord, that it is by your word that we will be judged.
Amen.
Have your way, Lord, in the furtherance of this service, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, again, anoint your word to go forth and touch some heart and some soul and some mind, dear God, that they would be fully persuaded to serve you, Lord, while there's still life in this body. And truly, Lord, we'll give you all glory and praise. In the name of Christ Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Minister Renee Ching.
Good morning. Brother said, oh, your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. Praise God. I want to thank you and praise you too for your grace and mercy brought me through. One more time. For your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you. For your grace and mercy brought me through. Praise God. Amen. Giving honor to God. Giving honor to this congregation. I thank God for each and every one of you. Thank God for those who are listening in via phone, via internet. Giving honor to my husband, Sister Blake. Giving honor this day to our dear brother man, thank God, and his family who's here with him. As we set aside a time today to celebrate our fathers on this Father's Day, we are living in a society right now that is searching for a model father of sorts. I thank God for all of the brethren here in the Wayne Avenue family of God, who are fathers and who are living examples before their children of what the Lord can do in a life that is dedicated to him. See, the greatest gift that you've given to your children or grandchildren is when you began your walk with the Lord. I thank God that my earthly father was a good one too. One who loved the Lord and he loved his family. I loved to talk with my dad, and there were many days right now when I wish I could just talk to my dad again. But he is gone now. And I can say, as David in 2 Samuel 12:23, but now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. See, that is my hope I have this afternoon, that yes, I will one day again see my earthly father in glory. To my brethren, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. And on this special Father's Day, we also want to extend a happy 90th birthday blessing to our dear brother man. Amen. Brother man, God be with you. You know we love you, and we hope your day is filled with the goodness of the Lord. God bless you. As we celebrate our earthly fathers, let us also remember our heavenly Father, because God is worthy to be praised. I trust you have your Bibles with you today and some type of a writing instrument, and if not, there should be some Bibles inside of the pew. See, God is worthy of all the glory that you and I can give him. As our Heavenly Father, he is the absolute best father there could ever be. He truly is a father that every individual in the world can trust. Because if it had not been for his love for us, where would we be today? In our hearing, I would like to return to Nahum verse 7 to get the subject the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. And I say to those that are here visiting with us, consider what I say and the Lord give you the understanding. See, Nahum is not one of our frequent books, as even Sister Blake said, that we turn to. It's nestled between Micah and Habakkuk. But Nahum is one of the minor prophets that center on the people of Nineveh. He, like Jonah, was a man of God that was called to preach to the people of Nineveh about their sin. You Bible students know the story of Jonah, how God had given him a divine message for the people of Nineveh, and how Jonah fled on a ship to Tarshish. Jonah and the sailor proclaimed his identity and faith in Almighty God. He was cast into the sea, and he was swallowed by a great fish. We read how God delivered Jonah from that great fish, and how God told him to go to the people of Nineveh a second time. This time Jonah went, and Jonah proclaimed that there were only 40 days before the destruction of Nineveh. That the people believed God, and they repented of their sins, and God turned away his fierce wrath from them. Now a century has passed, and the people of Nineveh have turned away from the commitment that they have made to God. And God is sending to them another prophet named Nahum. You see, Nahum's message is one of judgment. However, this time they ignored Nahum's warning. But the prophet Nahum said in verse 7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." The subject the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. The Lord is good. See, in the midst of all the words of wrath and anger and doom, Nahum declared the goodness of Almighty God. This should encourage each and every one of us today. Far away from God. You see, the Assyrians were the vilest and meanest people of that era of time. But they were no more vile and evil than the people of America today. One of America's greatest sins is that she has forgotten God. Spiritual conditions in our beloved country have not changed for the better. America has reviled God's law. She has ignored God's word and has found countless ways to cut God out of our lives. You see, we told God, that we do not want him to speak in our everyday life. That means we have failed to obey God. We have failed to listen to God's eternal word and to bring up our children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This godlessness has led to a disregard for the law. All the corruption that you and I are seeing in politics, the fraud in our educational system, and the hypocrisy even in some church houses, even ministers and church officials have forsaken God. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Your city right now, here in Columbus, Ohio, is an insult to God the Creator. We are literally saying to him that he did not know what he created when he said in Genesis 1:27, "So God made created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." As a result, America as we know it is a nation that is under judgment today. And God is laughing. Psalms 2:4 says, "But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Look at all the turmoil that is in our society today. The disturbance in our economy and the steady decline in morality all around can all be traced back to the abandonment of God and subsequent abandonment of the people of God. But even in the midst of judgment, the Lord is good. Oftentimes in our services, we sing the little chorus, "God is so good. God is so good. He is so good to me." It is a simple little praise chorus, and we have sung it many times. But as simple as that little chorus is, it is good doctrine. Because a part of the essence and being of our God is that God is good. Jesus declared in Luke 18:19, after the certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "None is good save one, that is God." 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right, what is true, and what is good. See, goodness is part of God's nature, and he cannot contradict his own nature. Just as holiness and righteousness are part of God's nature, he cannot do anything that is unholy or anything that is unrighteous. And God is the standard of all that is good. The fact that God is good means that he has no evil in him. His intentions and God's motivations are always good. He always does what is right, and the outcome of his plan is always good for you and I. See, there is nothing unpleasant, evil, or dark in our God. The Bible teaches us that God's goodness extends from his nature to everything that he does. Psalms 119:68 says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Psalms 105 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." But as the people of God, are we trusting God? Are we trusting God's goodness when things in this life don't seem to be going our way, so to speak? You see, God's goodness should lead us to thankfulness on our part. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." This same verse is echoed in many of the scriptures throughout the Bible. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." See, as Christians, God expects you and I to hunger internally for his word, which nourishes our souls. When you and I hunger, we cry out in desire and in need for the pure word of God and God's faithful teaching, so that we can grow spiritually in grace in the knowledge of him. And when you and I do that, we can see the goodness of Almighty God. We can see the grace that God has extended to us. We can see the mercy that God extends to us each and every day. In a world right now that is bent on going against everything the Bible says, you and I, as the children of God, can still see the goodness of Almighty God. And we can thank God personally because it is directed to you and I. My Bible tells me in Romans, the 2nd chapter in the 4th verse, it said, "Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It is the goodness of God that enabled you and I to be saved this afternoon. And that is nothing for any of us to take lightly. It is a privilege and an honor to be chosen and to be called a child of the King. Christian means Christ-likeness. It means that you and I have turned from an old man, old lifestyle, and now are a new man in Christ Jesus, renewed in our hearts. Our bodies are being presented as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Almighty God. But the ministry today has made a mockery of salvation and how one is to obtain it. They say you can live any old lifestyle and still be a Christian. I thank God for the prayer of Brother Mann this morning. I thank God how the Spirit of God led him to say, if you're here, today is the day you need to make the choice. God is calling man to come out of sin and out of darkness. Time is winding up. To those who may not have been here in our congregation or are visiting with us today, we have suffered several losses in the past 8 months. Most of them have been unexpected. If we can say that when it comes to death. We were here one Sunday with our dear brethren, Brother Jonathan, laughing, giggling, having dinner downstairs, all of us, enjoying a fellowship. And we believe in our heart that he went home that night and died. We didn't find him till Wednesday. But that's just how close death is. Then our dear sister went to work one day and left her husband and said her goodbyes to him, but came home that night and found him dead. That's just how close death is. So this message today speaks about the goodness of Almighty God. And it speaks about how a lifestyle change has to be made in order for one to be able to be in the kingdom of God. Don't allow the ministry of the day, as we said, that has made such a mockery of salvation, fool you into how you are to be saved. They say you can live any old lifestyle and you can still be called a Christian. This is due in part to the lack of sound doctrinal teaching. You see, we have exchanged the truth of God's word for trashy perversions of the Bible, which have virtually no effect upon the world around us. Proverbs, the 30th chapter and the 12th verse says, there is a generation, we're seeing this today, that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. See, we have left the solid foundation of the word of God for perverted, watered-down version. This is a great falling away that has taken place in a lot of houses of God today that Paul spoke about to the church at Thessalonica in that second epistle, in that second chapter and third verse. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that day, as we see, is here today. You see, the Bible still requires one to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. But many are not requiring for individuals to repent or even to confess. Romans 10:9 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus when he said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, the only reason why one would not repent is because they are not godly sorrow for the sins that they are committing. If you do not repent and be born again, you cannot make it into the kingdom of God. This is why mankind needs to attend services so that they can hear the word of God being preached. Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter, and look at what Paul says there in that 10th chapter, starting with that 14th verse. He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not been believed, that have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach? See, this is the serious part right here. How shall they preach except they've been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. For one to have faith in God, they must first hear the word of God to know what God has done for them. That is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is why the ministry
is called to preach the word of God. But we are living in a time and in an age that demands short bursts of rapid fire information. What are you saying, Sister Jenkins? The day is fast approaching, and perhaps it may be already here, where the number of Twitter followers will hold the dominant place in a sermon message. You see, sermon lengths are going the way of our shrinking attention span. Modern pastors are tempted to replace sound doctrine and teaching with sound bites, slogans, prosperity preaching, and motivational speakers instead of anointed pastors who have been called by God to preach the word of God, the unadulterated, pure, unmodified word of God. Bible verses are not slogans, and they are not sound bites. They are eternal truths that find their meaning within the overall story that God is telling in the word of God. Uprooting a verse or even a biblical phrase from its native habitat can lead to all kind of confusion and misunderstanding. And my Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You see, God's goodness is being trampled on in our society today. We are seeing, as the scriptures reveal to us, a great apostasy of entertainment under the guise of praise and worship. You see, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to know that there is nothing wrong with worshiping and praising the Lord. We are told in the word of God in Revelation 4:11 that thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And if we don't praise God, we are told in Luke 19:40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones should immediately cry out. But today's praise and worship has become a competition between so-called houses of God. And I know what I'm talking about, saints of God. There are many young people competing with other young people from different congregations. Many are dancing around in the so-called house of God claiming it is to the glory of God, stating that they believe God has opened so many doors for them to do this, yet have not been saved from their sin. If God has given you a spirit to praise him with dance, my heart says amen to God's will. However, if it is a gift from God, why are you competing with others for a monetary award? When God gives a gift, it is to be used to God's glory and God's honor. God is not for sale or for hire. Amen. And that's what our world is doing today. We are told in Matthew 21:13 that God's house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Let us be very careful what we do in the house of God, under the guise of the will of God. Many today are labeling the types of sermons that you hear today here in this congregation as out of date and not keeping in touch with our changing world. But again, my Bible says to me in Malachi, the 3rd chapter in the 6th verse, for I am the Lord, I change not. You see, God has not changed any of his requirements on how one can enter into the kingdom of God. No matter how many times our society goes through changes, Jesus is still the same. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. Either you are going to get on God's terms and conditions, or you're going to find yourself hearing Christ say to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
saints of God. We have to remain as Paul has told us in the Word of God. He said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in the 58th verse, he told us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, the message is being preached today. Won't build real disciples for God. There's no more substance for the believer than for the unbeliever. Nor do the messages sustain faith in a crisis situation. This is why Paul told young Timothy there in 2 Timothy 4:2. He told him, he said, preach the word. He said, be instant, in season, out of season. But before Paul told Timothy that, he said to him, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be instant, in season, out of season. Meaning when they want to hear it, you're to preach the word of God. When they don't want to hear it, you're also to preach the word of God. Why? Because he went on to say here, when he told him what to do, he said, reprove. He said, rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He said, why? Before the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we're seeing that today. There are many people right now who have gone against the word of God. They will say that Jesus was just a good man. Because why? There's so many Bible versions that have come up and been changed so that it can meet with our day and time in which we are living. And many of them are cutting out the birth of Jesus Christ. More so cutting out that a virgin had a baby, a virgin that came from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Many are cutting out that part in the Word of God. But regardless of whether they cut it out or not, it is still true today. God's Word said it would not return unto him void, but it will go forth and serve the purpose for which God has sent it. He also said in the word of God, before one jot or one tittle of my word shall pass, heaven and earth will pass away. Our God has not changed. He is the same today. Yes, he is good. Yes, he is merciful. Yes, his grace is extended unto mankind. But God is not being fooled by the things that are going on today. You see, the preaching of the word of God is what brought you and I to repentance. This is what Paul says in Romans, that 10th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. God has left it on record in the word of God for you and I. And look what Paul says there in Romans, that 10th chapter. He said, brethren, my heart's desire, he said, in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And that is God's desire too. And that should be the desire of everyone that preaches the word of God, is to get souls saved. He goes on to say, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, in this world today, you can go out and find any kind of religion that will back the lifestyle that you want it to back. But there's only one way to get into the kingdom of God, and that is through repentance and confession of your sins to Almighty God. I don't care what they're saying down the street, across town, or around town, but the word of God says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to come God's way or no other way. Jesus is the door to the kingdom of God.
You can't write your name on a roll. You can't turn around and shake the pastor's hand. You can't put an overabundance of money into the offering plate. But you got to come through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our Savior.
Amen.
He said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speaking on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which is faith. It is not anything that you and I have done, but we had to come God's way in order to be saved. He goes on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe what thus saith the word? He also, it's inconsistent what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 7:9, where Paul says to us in that scripture, he said, now, he said, I rejoice. 2 Corinthians 7:9. He said, now, he said, I rejoice. Not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You see, Paul was saying to the Corinthians that he regretted that he had to write a severe letter to them, but since it caused them to repent and turn to Almighty God, his sorrow was now turned to joy. You see, godly sorrow always, always produces repentance. To a change of mind and a turning to our Creator, God the Father. See, God's goodness is seen in his plan to redeem us from sin. The gospel is good news. In his goodness, God sent his Son to become the perfect and blameless sacrifice so we could be forgiven of our sins. God does not want anyone, we are told in 2 Peter 3:9, to perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is why it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Nothing you and I have done, but God's goodness to us. This is why he is worthy of our praise and all of our adoration. Because if he had not loved us, where would any of us be today? You see, the ministry of this world have wrestled with the scriptures. They turn things around and change things to make people believe that it's okay to live the way you're living and God is going to accept it. The other day I was reading an article, and I'm sharing this article with you, and you can go out on the web and read it. It's on the web page. It's about Joel Osteen. And he's a pastor, most of us know, of one of the largest churches, or the largest church, I believe it is, in the United States, which is there in Houston, Texas. I was reading where his television program was viewed by over 20 million people each month in over 100 countries around this world. In 2004, he published the New York Times best-selling book called Your Best Life Now and 7 Steps. He said he does not specifically preach about money,
but rather the prosperity of health, good relationship, and being blessed. Be blessed with material things, a view that is contradicted in 1 Timothy 6:6, where Paul says, but godliness and contentment is great gain. Mr. Osteen, it says he steers clear of negative topics such as hell, judgment, and sin in his sermon. To me, he sounds like an inspirational life coach who borrows religious terminology. See, instead of being a spiritual watchman on the wall, watching for the souls of mankind, he says he preaches about how people can improve their lives and be prosperous and experience happiness. Noticeably absent from Mr. Osteen's optimistic message is any mention of sin or repentance. He states that the atonement of Christ provided healing in the abundant life, but receiving forgiveness from a holy God is not necessary. So you can see why it caught my eye. Saints of God, and to anyone under the sound of my voice, when you don't talk about sin, you're not preaching the whole gospel. When you barely, if ever, call sin what it is, you're not helping anyone, least of all the sinner who is enslaved in sin. You are doing what Paul said in Titus 1:11, subverting whole houses, teaching things you ought not to teach for filthy lucre sake. It's all about the money and not about the soul of mankind. God has never been about money, but God has always been about the souls of mankind, amen, redeeming mankind back to him. That's why God looked high and low, and there was only one that was worthy to redeem us back to Almighty God, and that was the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Moses wasn't able. Daniel wasn't able. None of the others in the Old Testament were able to redeem us back, but Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was the only one that knew no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth, and he was able to redeem us back to God. Thank God, as Sister said, for his unspeakable gift to you and I. Yes, it's unspeakable. We cannot describe why God did it, but I thank God the day that God sent his son to redeem me back to him. Because if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be today? They will tell them, if they were preachers of the gospel, what Jesus said in John 8:24. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. See, self-improvement plans are not salvation. God is looking to make spiritually dead people alive. God is looking to make wicked people righteous. God is looking to make his enemies his friends. You see, happiness, self-assurance, and eternal prosperity, according to the Bible, come as a result of submission to Almighty God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, happiness is always in the context of God's eternal will, not your promised health and wealth in the here and now. We are told in 1 Peter 1:4 that our inheritance is kept in heaven for us. Preaching a gospel of self-motivation and financial gain is short-sighted in that it is focused on this world. And this world is passing away, according to the word of God. It's better to preach the need for repentance and faith and leave the rest up to Almighty God. God is going to bless. God is going to take care of you if you come to Almighty God. Let us always remember
to be thankful to God for sound doctrine. I know it has gone the way of the dinosaur, but it is still the only way that will get you into the kingdom of God. Saints of God, we think about our time in which we live. We can never praise the Lord too much or give thanks too much for what he has done for us. Is there ever a limit to our praise and thanks? No, there never is. Thanksgiving to God should never be a never-ending thing in yours, life, and mine. God has been so good to us. You see, the goodness of God extends all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we've read in the past many times how Satan came and enticed Eve to sin against God. His approach to her was a very interesting approach. You see, Satan questioned whether it was sin or not to eat of the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, this had to do directly with the goodness of God. See, you remember that he said in verse, every tree of the garden. And Eve said in verse 2, we may eat. See, Eve knew full well what God had said. She said, we may eat of the tree, fruit of the trees of the garden. She said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, what Satan suggested to her was that God was holding something back from her. You see, once Satan got Eve to focus on the one tree she couldn't eat from rather than the others that she could freely eat from, she lost sight of God's goodness, and she plunged all mankind, her and her husband and family and the rest of the world, into sin. The very origin of sin in the human race had to do with disobeying a command from Almighty God, which started with the devil suggesting or questioning our God's goodness. Thank God that he is still good. Thank God he is still on his throne. See, this should be a warning to you and I that we need to give to others. See, this happens more often than we think amongst the people of God. For you and I, we get to thinking about what God has done for somebody else rather than focusing on all the things that he has done for you and I individually. Let us understand about something about God's goodness. You see, God has promised each and every one of us in Psalms, the 84th chapter and 11th verse, he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If we are walking according to the word of God and committing our will to God's will, it is good for us to have. God will allow it to come to pass. We don't have to worry, so to speak, about how he is blessing someone else, because God is bestowing blessings upon you likewise. Through his goodness, you and I have received wisdom. Through God's goodness, you and I have received discernment. Through God's goodness, you and I have received direction and provision and life itself. You and I are recipients of God's goodness each and every day. How many of us believe so? Because it was the goodness of God that woke you up this morning. God did not have to allow you to rise. You could have gone on into eternity, but God allowed you to rise this morning. It is God's goodness that you and I are here today. Psalms 106:1 says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Saints of God, you and I can count on God always being good. God is also eternally good. This means that God can never change. He was good in the past. He is good today. And God will be good forevermore. Thank God
He is expressing his goodness toward you and I today. And also the goodness of God is manifested in his desire to save the lost from their sin. If you are today sitting under the sound of my voice and do not know God, as Brother Mann said in the prayer, get to know God. Think of God's goodness to you. There's a song Sister Kara taught us years ago. Think of his goodness to you. Think about all the things that God has done for you. I'm not speaking, the Holy Spirit is not having us speak about material things. But think about the things that God has done for you. How God has blessed you with health and strength and well-being. Think about that. Think about how God bless you to drive over the highways and byways each and every day. I thank God for the saints of God. And I know Brother Mann thanks likewise for the saints of God who pray for his daughter and my daughter who are there in Atlanta and driving on those busy, extremely heavy traffic highways. Lanes and lanes and lanes and lanes of highway driving. I thank God that he has blessed them. He's carried them through. I thank God when the saints of God began to pray, when Sister Maria was expecting Tatum, and she had to travel for long periods of time on the highway to get to her employment, and the saints of God began to pray. And I'm not saying, the Holy Spirit is not saying that God burnt down the bridge, but the bridge burnt down and allowed all that heavy traffic to have to go the other way. And Sister Maria was able to go to her job for, I believe it was 6 weeks or more, without all that heavy traffic. And then after all that happened, in that same traffic, and we've been praying for both of them, and God has carried them through. That's the goodness of God. That's what I'm talking about today, the goodness of Almighty God. Psalms 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. See, God is ready to save. If you are ready to commit your life to God, he is ready with open arms to save. The children learned in their 7:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. That's the rest Jesus Christ is trying to give to mankind today. That's the goodness of Almighty God. God is ready to forgive any person who is willing to admit and confess that they are a sinner and that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. See, God's goodness is manifested toward us by his dispensing of grace to live on in this world in which we are living right now. His supply will never run out. You can't say, well, God's over there blessing in another country, but he's not. But no, God's supply will never run out. God can bless in China as well as he can bless right here in Columbus, Ohio. That's the goodness of Almighty God. We oftentimes talk about how God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. We talk about these things because that's the God that you and I serve. Our God is all-knowing. He knows what you stand in need of. He knows before you even ask. God knows what you have desired. But he gives us the desires of our heart. He encourages us to come to him and to receive what we need. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. See, God's throne is a throne of grace. for it's God's grace and mercy that has brought all of us through. He said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's no reason for any of us that are saints of God to be struggling in our salvation, because God has opened up the throne of grace to you to come and to ask God to help, to bring your burdens to the Lord, to come to Almighty God and have a little talk with him. Let him know about the things that you are going through, and God will take you through. That is the goodness of God. I think of the time that I needed strength to deal with problems that were crushing my spirit, and God gave it to me. Then there are times that I needed wisdom to make a decision, and God gave it to me. I think of the times that God gave me discernment, and I was able to spare myself of some untold misery. I can think of times that God has given me the ability to do something that I could never do on myself. And there have been times that he gave solutions to problems that seemed to have no answer. I thank God for his goodness to me. And I know the saints of God are thanking God for his goodness to them and to their family. In the 107 Psalms, division of Psalms, turn with me there. In verse 1, and look at what the psalmist says there in that 107th division. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Do you believe God is good? Then God deserves you to give him some thanks and praise for his goodness, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, share that with somebody today. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He goes on to say, and gather them out of the land, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. See, God is reminding us here, saints of God, where God found you and I, and how God has delivered us from a terrible condition that you and I were in. Because God moved in power, you and I are redeemed, and we are challenged to praise God each and every day. Every day that God gives us breath, you and I ought to be praising Almighty God for what he has done. The very fact that you and I have been redeemed is enough reason for us to give God some praise. God redeemed us by sending his son to die for us, that you and I might be saved from our sins. You and I are saved today, and we are headed to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. He suffered our hell. He endured the awful wrath of God that was intended for you and I. And God deserves each and every creature to give God praise for that, because it was the love of God that sent his son to the cross. It was the love of you and I, of God toward you and I, that while we were yet sinners, the word of God says Christ died for us. God loved us that much that God gave his only begotten son. God loved us that much that the word of God says it pleased him that Christ was bruised for us. Thank God for that. Thank God. It's enough to praise him for all eternity. He gives us more reason each and every day to thank him. When you go through the word of God, here in Psalms at a 107th division, you can see throughout these verses, we are told how God found us when he saved us. We're also reminded that he still possesses all power necessary to deliver us. I know it speaks about the children of Israel, but put ourselves in there, because the same thing God did for them, God has done for you and I today. God has delivered us for what we were to face in this life. If we were to continue on our road in hell, you continued on our road in sin, you and I would have been facing eternal damnation in hell. Don't allow anyone to tell you different. Don't allow anyone to say that there is no hell, because my Bible says that hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And if you are not saved, in hell is where you will lift up your eyes. But if you are living a righteous and sober life for Almighty God, then heaven bound you are today. You can say, as Jesus told his disciples in the word of God, let not your heart be troubled. For if you believe in God, he said, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. This is what Jesus was saying to comfort his disciples. He said, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then where I am, there you may be also. If you're a child of God, he has gone on to prepare a place for you. And when this life is over, you can reign with him throughout. Brother had us sing the song, Victory in Jesus. What do you think that means? He said, I heard about a mansion he has prepared for me in glory. That's a mansion God has prepared for us. Or we may not have those mansions right down here, but that's all right. I'm not laboring to be rich down here, but I'm laboring to get into the kingdom of God. Because I'm going to have a mansion, and I'm going to walk the streets of gold, and I'm going to be forever with my Lord and Savior. I'm not worried about it down here. I'm not worried about what the world is trying to throw at the saints of God, but I'm going to stand for righteousness. Amen. Until Jesus comes back. Don't allow this world to try to get us to turn away from Almighty God. Yes, God delivered us out of a terrible circumstance when we were in our past sins. May we never forget what God has done for us, how God changed our life. You know, on Wednesday night, and I know a lot of saints aren't here, but on Wednesday night, many of the saints of God come into the sanctuary and they bring their requests. And they ask the saints of God to be agreed in prayer with them. And I'm thankful to God, Almighty God, when the saints of God come back and the saints of God give us a report of what God has done. Many of our saints have been through a lot of things, saints. Those of you who are not able to be out, and we have seen the victory in Jesus Christ. Many of them have had to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But nevertheless, they praise God all the way through. I can say that about our dear brother man. He has come many times, and I believe we shared in last Lord's Day, and said, saints of God, pray for my neighborhood. And the saints of God have fasted and prayed. And this has been for a long time. Brother said to us the other day, he's been living there for over 60 in the wrong direction. But when the saints of God sent the prayers up to Almighty God, he told us about how a man came and fell at his knees and asked him to forgive him after he had stole brother's equipment. That's the power of Almighty God. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes, we may struggle with things in this life, but don't allow the enemy to have you quit on the very God that blessed you to be here today. You see, God doesn't just save his people from the sin. Our God will also keep us from sin. Amen. Our God is watching over us. God has given you and I. Jesus said in the word of God, he said, it's expedient that I go. He said, if I go not away, he said, the comforter will not come. And you see, God has given us a comforter, and the comforter is guiding you and I through this world, through into all truth. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God, because see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit of God that gives us discernment. It's the Holy Spirit of God that will say to you, sis, that is not something for you to be doing. The Holy Spirit of God will keep you from going to the left and to the right and keep you in the straight and narrow way. And yes, my Bible says that we are to live righteously and soberly in this present world. And that's what the Spirit of God will do for you. But you got to stay with him. You can't run ahead of him. Can't get out there and think I can do it on my own and do it your way. Because when you're doing it your way, you're not following the word of God and you're not following God. See, yes, all of us were lost at a time. But as we called upon the Lord, so can anyone else call. He is the only place where help can be found. In Isaiah 65:24, it says, it shall come to pass that before they call. See, think about it. Praise God. He said, before you call, he said, I will answer. That's just like our, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He said, I will answer. He said, while they are yet speaking, God said he would hear. See, prayer is our opportunity to speak into the ear of God and to see him work in our lives. Don't allow the devil to steal your prayer life from you. Don't allow the devil to keep you from getting with Almighty God. Remember one thing, saints of God, we got to continue to run on for the Lord. We're not home yet, so we got to run on. We can't get slowful in our run. We got to continue to fight on the good fight of faith. We got to lay hold onto eternal salvation. We got to press on, even in this world. See, there will be some hard places along the way, but you and I are headed, as we said, to a city. We are told in Revelation 21:4, where it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise God. Praise God. He's worthy. The saints of God were always challenged to praise God for his worthiness. You and I should praise the Lord, because yes, we were wandering like the children of Israel one day. We were nearly dead out there in the desert of sin until he came and saved us and led us out. Yes, God is our guide today. From whatever it is that has you bound. This is the promise of Jesus Christ in Luke 4:18, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are free. Jesus can set you free. If you want to be free, he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If you are bound today and under the sound of my voice, the Lord can open your prison and God can set you free. And you can sing the song, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. You can be free from this world of sin. You can be washed in the blood of Jesus. And you can be born again. That's if you come to God. If you're saved, God has already set you free. You have a reason, always a reason, to praise Almighty God. Yes, we were trapped in a terrible dungeon. Yes, we were chained in our sin. Oh, we were out there just like the world is today. But the Lord came to where we were, and God broke those chains that had us bound in sin. And God delivered us from our prison, and God set us free. Yes, He is our deliverer. Thank God for it. Thank God for the Word of God. You see, the Bible and the Word of God is our medicine chest. The saints of God should praise the Lord. Because, yes, we were afflicted at one time with a deadly disease of sin from which we could never recover. But He came to where you and I were, and God administered the right prescription. And that prescription was what? Jesus Christ. That is the best prescription you can have. He is our great physician. He is the great I am. All you got to do is trust in God. Yeah, the storms of life may be right now raging against you. You may not be able to see the goodness of God. But let me remind you that we serve a God. And Jesus is still the master of the sea. He can still walk on water. He can still cry, "Peace, be still." And the waters will be muzzled at His command. Just as He spoke to the waves back then and calmed them, He can do the same today for you and I. He has not changed. Yes, there was a time when we did not know Him, but God has now spoken peace to our soul, and I thank God for it. Thank God for that peace you have today. Thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. Yeah, our world is talking about peace, as Sister said. Our world is going on and saying, you're trying to come together to have summits, but there's only peace in God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, you have peace with God. Psalms 23, turn with me there for a moment. In this passage of scripture, David declares the depth of his knowledge and the fullness of God's care for you and I. The psalmist says there, and this is one that you and I have learned as a child, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How many have found that to be so? Yeah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When everything is going all up in the arm, God can lead you beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. See, when you serve an almighty God, God is not leading you someplace where God cannot keep you. God is not taking you to places that are wrong and that will vex your spirit or get you out of the will of God. He said, he leadeth me, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. No, see, you and I have nothing to fear. The only one we have to fear is Almighty God. We got to fear Him and not mankind. Why? Because He speaks and man lives. And God speaks and man dies. So God is the one you need to fear today. He goes, oh, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, God is with His people each and every day. Sister D used to sing this song, my Heavenly Father watches over me. God has an umbrella over. He's watching over His people each and every day. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Truly our God has been good to us. Truly our God is the center of the universe. We need to know whether he is the center of our life. If we are giving him the glory due his name, then God is the center of your life. Therefore, let every believer under the sound of my voice come to a place where we're more than willing to seek the glory of Almighty God. I read this poem or this words of encouragement that was being given to somebody. And the Holy Spirit of God wanted me to share it with you. It goes like this. A little boy was telling his grandmother how everything in his life was going wrong. He told her about his problems with school, with family, friends, and the list went on. Meanwhile, his grandmother was baking a cake, and she asked her grandson if he would like a snack, which, of course, he did. Here, she says, have some cooking oil. Yuck, said the boy. How about a couple of raw eggs? Grandma asked him. That's gross, Grandma, he said. Would you like some flour, then? Or maybe baking soda. Grandma, those things are all yucky, the boy says to his grandma. To which his grandma replies, yes, all these things seem bad by themselves, but when they are put together in the right way, they make a wonderfully delicious cake. What are you saying, Sister Renee? God works the same way. Many times we wonder why he would let us go through such bad circumstances. Eventually, all things will work together for good to them that love God. Experiencing or going through today, but I want to leave with you a final thought. Yes, the Lord is good. God bless you, is my prayer.
Amen. Thank God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The 34th chapter of Psalms says, I will bless the Lord at all times.
Praise
His
God.
Praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why should it be? Because the Lord is good. The scripture that she gave, that Mr. Jenkins gave us, Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive.
Yes.
The Lord is ready to forgive.
Yes.
It says, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Amen. God is good.
His mercy is abundant. His love is infinite.
Yes.
Rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Praise
he
God.
Gave his son to die. That's how much love he had for us.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Praise God.
Amen. God is good. Thank God for this message. People sometimes have a tendency to fall into the same trap that the children of Israel did when they were in the wilderness. God was providing for their needs, and they murmured and complained.
Amen.
God was feeding them, but they remembered what they used to eat back in Egypt when they were in bondage. But they had been set free. They had been set at liberty by God, who had brought them through the plagues and crossed the Red Sea. And
my.
They were free. Yet they were looking over their shoulders back at what they perceived was somehow better than where the Lord had brought them to. Let us never look back at a sinful condition and say it was better than where the Lord has
Praise
brought us.
God.
No matter what we are going through, if
Amen.
We've been redeemed from sin,
Amen.
We're in a better place. It doesn't matter how many trials and tribulations you're going through. You are in a better place than you were when you were in sin and it seemed like everything was smooth sailing. Because that's not smooth sailing.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
And no matter what we're going through, he'll be there for us.
Amen.
She gave a scripture that said he'd be there in the time of trouble. He'll bring us through. If we're going through a storm, he'll roll us right over the tide and bring us out.
Amen.
At a safe harbor.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Yes, he is. Thank God.
The Lord is good. Shall we stand and rest ourselves?
Amen.
Shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life.
Amen.
Well, in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall be at the table set for me.
Praise God!
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. We have to be walking in the path that the Lord has set for us in order for goodness and mercy to follow us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask, is there a song? Is there 358 in the worship of the Lord? 358 in the worship of the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. But we have to call on the Lord. Jesus died on the cross, so the sacrifice has been made. But unless we take it, we're not saved.
Amen.
Some people say, well, Jesus already died on the cross. What do I have to do? You have to repent.
Amen.
Confess your sin. Stop the sin business. Turn around. Repent means to turn around and serve God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn around and serve the Lord. Stop serving Satan. Because there are only two that we can serve. There are only two choices as to who will be our master. It's either God or it's the devil. If you're not serving God, by default, you're serving the devil. Praise our God. Praise our God. Sorry, what was that number that I said? Thank you, 358. Evening Light. All right. Thank you. Evening Light, 358. That's the smaller. Amen. 358, Evening Light.
As I am,